Good evening and welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition to the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me, my partner on this program and good friend, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas. We're delighted to have you in our listening audience this evening. We want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And we would love for you to call in with a question or comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We also want to remind you of the additional sponsors to this program, along with the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton and the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville. We're also supported by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and also the 4th and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. Our motto is, and has always been, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say.
Amen.
Tonight you're listening on the HPR Network on KTX 97.7 FM out of Eastland. Also on KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, Texas. On KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. As well as on Internet Radio on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. Now, remember that this program tonight will be also re-aired at 9 p.m. tonight if you'd like to tune in on KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We have, over the last several weeks now, David, been talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is a very important issue that we need to be discussing because of, for various issues. But again, I want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. If you'd like to call in, we encourage you to do so with a question or comment. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We began by looking at some misconceptions concerning the Holy Spirit. We've also talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have also discussed the apostolic imposition of hands. And in the last couple of weeks, we've also been looking at biblical inspiration. David, I am, and I know you are, thoroughly convinced that the greatest problem in religion today is a misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. Many false ideas, erroneous teachings, come as a result of misunderstanding the Holy Spirit and the things of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, David, we're going to talk about an issue that I think is very important to this whole idea of the Holy Spirit, and that is the Godhead.
Well, Tom, I'm thankful that we are going to consider this topic because in addition to the Holy Spirit, this is another one of the misunderstood parts of religion. I am thoroughly convinced that this Holy Spirit issue is the main cause of division in all religion, starting all the way back at Acts chapter 2 at the establishment of the church there, and then from what men have taught from that moment on has caused division in the Lord's church that was established there on that day. And this division is something that God does not want. One of the reasons that we actually need to know and understand and to learn everything that we can accumulate as far as knowledge goes and wisdom goes concerning this Holy Spirit so that we will better know how to approach the Scriptures. Now, part of it, as you say, we're going to consider the Godhead tonight. Part of the Godhead is the Holy Spirit. If we don't understand the Holy Spirit, we certainly can't understand the Godhead. And if we don't understand the Godhead, we can't understand the Holy Spirit. So this is one of the foundational teachings that we must have in order to comprehend what God has revealed to us.
You know, we've said several times throughout this series of lessons If you don't understand what the Bible has to say about the Holy Spirit, then you don't know anything at all about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also true concerning the Godhead.
Absolutely. You get all kinds of misinterpretations, all kinds of misappropriations of who the Holy Spirit is, what His mission is, and you get just as many erroneous ideas concerning the Godhead and about who He is and what His work is. And so we're going to cover these things tonight, and we do encourage you to call in with a question or a comment as you see fit. We love to hear the questions and the comments come in. It makes this radio program so much more interesting to hear someone else's side of the question or someone else's side of a comment. And so we do encourage you to call in 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You can also email us if you want to questions at harrisonmoore.org, and we'll answer those emails. But we would prefer that you use our toll-free number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tom?
You know, one of the reasons that the Godhead and a study of the Godhead is so critical and important, and maybe some people have not even thought much about it, but it's an important topic because there are a lot of errors out there in the world today concerning the Godhead. And one of these is taught among the Pentecostal denomination. There are many within that denomination who believe that Jesus only is God. They believe that Jesus is the Father and Jesus is the Holy Spirit. They're referred to as Jesus only Pentecostals. Well, as we look, and when I was in Arkansas preaching out there, there was a Pentecostal preacher there in town, and we debated back and forth in the newspapers, of all things, over this very issue, and he believed that there was only Jesus, that there was no Father, and that there was no Holy Spirit. Strange doctrine, but one that's being taught today. And as we go through this idea of the Godhead, the doctrinal view, the Bible view of the Godhead, we're going to see very clearly that that simply cannot be the case.
Well, and there's another denominational body out there, and these are just a couple of many. We don't know what everybody believes, but these folks are proud of what they believe, and they endorse this belief, and they advertise this belief, and they promote this belief.
These are things that we know firsthand.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now we also got another denominational body called the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they do not believe in Jesus as being divinity at all. He is, according to them, a created being, and he is not a part of the divine order. He is not God at all. Now, that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. But there's more misunderstanding than that.
Most definitely. There are some people who believe that the Holy Spirit is not actually an entity, a person of the Godhead, but is only an influence, and so not a person. But as we're going to be looking at tonight, as we go through the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we're going to see very clearly that the Godhead, and we're going to prove this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And David, it's important for us to call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things in Bible ways.
No doubt about it.
So before we proceed in our study of the Holy Spirit, why don't we look at some scriptural designations of the Holy Spirit?
Now, here's one of the reasons that we're going to do this, and let me interrupt you here for just a moment. We're going to study this from an objective viewpoint and not a subjective viewpoint. A subjective viewpoint will appeal to the feelings. Now, that is exactly the problem in religion today. We have so many people appealing to their feelings as to what I believe the Holy Spirit is or what I believe the Godhead is, and they're not appealing to the objective standard of looking into this. Now, when we appeal to the objective, we are appealing to the facts of the gospel. We are appealing to the divine truth. And this is the reason that we continue to say, you have heard what God or what man has said, said. Now listen to what the Bible has to say, or what God's Word has to say on this subject. And again, I want to reiterate, everything that you know about the Holy Spirit or everything that you know about the Godhead is going to come from the Bible, or you don't know anything at all.
Exactly. Tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit in connection with the Godhead. It's very important for us to understand the Godhead, because if we don't understand the Godhead, there is much, a great deal of things that we simply will not understand about the Holy Spirit, about God's plan of salvation, about the characteristics of God. There's so many things that we cannot and will not understand if we don't properly understand the Holy Spirit, and tonight in its connection with the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's important for us to speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. And so we do need to call Bible things by Bible names. And when we think about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, there are some at least nine different designations concerning the Holy Spirit. And just to mention a few, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2 says, the Spirit of God. Psalm 51 verse 11, the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God. And in Isaiah 63 and verse 11, His Holy Spirit. Just to name a few. But these are designations of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But there's quite a few more in the New Testament, isn't there, David?
No doubt about it. In the New Testament, we're going to find as many as 15 different names for the Holy Spirit. And in the New Testament, in the King James Version, numerous times he is called the Holy Ghost. We've been referring to him as the Holy Spirit. But the King James Version, which happens to be the version that I love to use, the word ghost today does not mean what it did in 1611 when the King James Version was authorized. So this older terminology has given way to the Holy Spirit in the American Standard Version and then the New King James Version. In 1611, Tom, the word ghost meant guest. It no longer has that meaning today. The Spirit in the New Testament comes from the Greek term pneuma, and this term applies both to the Holy Spirit and to man's spirit. And most of the time, the Spirit is capitalized when it is referring to the third person of the Godhead. And when it's not, it won't have that capital. But this does not always right. hold true in every single instant.
Exactly. You know, and sometimes when people hear or read the King James, and I love the King James, it's a beautiful translation, and it's an accurate translation.
We should some words, read it more.
Well, some people use the American Standard, the more accurate one. But anyway, the idea here is some people look at the word ghost,
mm-hmm.
and they get a misconception because they don't understand the idea of ghost in 1611, and therefore they begin to think that the Holy Spirit is something kind of mysterious, you know, it may be something more than just an influence.
Right.
So because of that, some people get a misconception. But even with the translation Holy Ghost, if you read what the King James said about the Holy Spirit, you would not come away with that idea.
No, you would not. And beyond people thinking that the Holy Spirit is mysterious, they also think he is something mystical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a mystery is only a mystery until it is revealed, and then it's no longer a mystery.
Exactly.
But something that is mystical is something that has far-reaching applications that sometimes are inexplicable.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what people want to hold on to when they come across a definition or a description of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Spirit did this, or the Spirit did this, or the Spirit led me here, the Spirit led me there. And we've gone through some of this before.
Oh, ghostly influence.
Yes, the things that we just cannot explain. But God didn't give us something that we can't know here.
Exactly.
He gave us something that we can know, and that is the reason that we are spending so much time on this, and we think it is so, so important. I talked to you not too long ago about the precedent that was set by Moses all the way back in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 9 and following, when he was told Israel, He said, you read this law to the children of Israel every 7 years, even from the infant all the way to the older person in the congregation. You read it to them all every 7 years. Now, why do you suppose that that was important to God to do that?
Well, we need to keep people in memory, don't we?
Absolutely.
You know, and we soon forget, or mm-hmm. that we become, it becomes old hat to us. And there's always new generations coming around that mm-hmm. need to be taught. And so that's important to continually discuss things. You know, I don't think the Holy Spirit is over-discussed at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's not discussed enough from a biblical standpoint.
True. True.
Now, we're talking tonight about the Holy Spirit and in connection with the Holy Spirit being a part of the Godhead. We've noted how that there are many erroneous teachings concerning the Holy Spirit because man does not simply understand his connection. And I noticed I said his connection
right.
With the Godhead. And we've looked at how that we should be calling Bible things by Bible names. We noted in the Old Testament that the Holy Spirit is referred to in many different fashions throughout its text, some 9 different designations. And in the New Testament, David, mm-hmm. as we've mentioned, there are some 15 different designations to the Holy Spirit in its pages. It's called the Spirit of God in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. The Spirit of your Father, Matthew 10 and verse 20. The Holy Spirit, Luke 11 and verse 13. The Spirit of holiness, Romans 1 and verse 4. The Eternal Spirit, Hebrews 9 and verse 4, just to name a few. But David, there's something very interesting concerning all this, concerning the names giving the Holy Spirit compared with Jesus and the Father.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it really did surprise me to find out this little tidbit of information. We have 9 different designations for a name in the Old Testament for the Holy Spirit. We have 15 in the New Testament for the Holy Spirit. That's a total of 24. But did you know that there are less names given to the Holy Spirit than given for God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son? It is said that there are some 200 names given to Christ in the Bible, and just one example of how many names, just in one prophetic declaration, that would be in Isaiah chapter 90, verse 6. Just listen to how many names that Isaiah puts on Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. He says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, that's just in one small verse of Scripture in the Old Testament, in the prophets of the Old Testament, Tom.
Exactly. And you know, David, when we consider the study of the Holy Spirit, there can be no more fundamental topic than that of the Godhead, which we're talking about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we understand the Godhead, the understanding of the Holy Spirit is going to be lacking. When we think about the Godhead, we need to understand that it is a divine family. And the family consists of 3 members,
mm-hmm.
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They constitute the Godhead. There is one divine nature and 3 who possess it, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And all 3 are spirits and all 3 are persons. And when we talk about the Godhead, you know, something that makes things a little bit more understandable. Let's take, for instance, if we talk about manhood. You see, manhood is what makes man, man. Talk about womanhood. Womanhood is what makes woman, woman. You talk about childhood. Childhood is what makes a child, a child. And Godhood or Godhead is what makes God, God.
When we think about the Godhead, David, this is not just some term we pulled out of the air. The word Godhead is mentioned three times in the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
in Acts chapter 17 and verse 29, Romans 1 and verse 20, and Colossians 2 and verse 9. I've heard people say that this idea of the Godhead does not exist in the New Testament. Well, that just tells me they hadn't read their Bibles very much.
That's all it tells
us.
And I tell you what, let's just read those three passages. I've got Acts chapter 17 and verse 29 pulled up here for me. And this is one of the places where you read about the Godhead. And the Godhead are three, as you said. They are divine. They compose deity. They have been called by men other names, but the only name designated in the Bible for the Godhead is just that, it's the Godhead. Acts chapter 17 and verse 29 says, and this is when Paul was going through Athens, Greece, and he was explaining to these individuals about all of their different gods that they had worshipped. He says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And then he follows that by saying, in the times of this ignorance God winked at or he overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. And so there is the use of the word Godhead the first time that it turns up in the New Testament.
Exactly. And also in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, in the King James translation it says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Another example of the term Godhead being used, that which we're going to be discussing tonight in greater detail, again showing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit making up that Godhead, that Godhood, if you will.
And I think it's interesting there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, he talks about that Godhead and tells them that they are without excuse in knowing what they need to know about it. Also, again, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9, speaking of Jesus the Christ, now listen very carefully, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so he is the Godhead, and all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ bodily. And so there you have the three places where you're going to find the word Godhead used in the New Testament. Now, we've always said, Tom, that you have heard what men have had to say. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. Now, let me just give you a few names that men have come up with for this Godhead. What they call it, these are man's names, the Sublime Three, the Sacred Three, the Timeless Trinity, the Holy Trinity, all are man's names. But we want to stick with the terminology of the Bible.
You know, if you say things in Bible ways, if you call Bible things by Bible names, can we be wrong? No.
No.
But there are a lot of people who are, well, I don't really see anything wrong with that terminology. It kind of explains what we're talking about. Well, it might do it, but we'll be a whole lot safer if we'll always call Bible things by Bible names.
Right.
And so what we're talking about tonight then now is a Bible name, a Bible concept, that is the Godhead. Now, when we think about this idea of the Godhead, we understand that it consists of three entities, three personalities. And really, to begin all this, we can look, first of all, at Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, where there it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you think about that verse, there's something very interesting to me, David, and that is the word one, one Lord. The word one comes from the Hebrew word akid, and is literally means a combined one. Some people say, well, how can God be one and yet have three personalities? Well, there are several ways that can be the case,
mm-hmm.
and here we see that it is a combined one.
Right.
You know, you can be one, I can be one with you, in our thoughts concerning various things and still be considered one.
Right.
Cannot God also be considered one, even though it makes up the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit?
Right. Well, I mean, just take, for instance, the Harrison Moore Expedition through the Bible. You're one, I'm one, but together we are just one on this program, because this is what this program is. It's just one. And so when we look at this, there is only one divine nature, but three personalities possess it. Mm-hmm. God the Father, God the Word, which is later called God the Son, and then God the Holy Spirit. We look all the way back into Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. God there is translated as Elohim, and that is in the plural. Now, I don't know a whole lot about the Hebrew language, but I can read, and I am told that this is in the plural. And the meaning of it, it is a plurality working as a singular unit in creation. And we can read about these things.
Exactly. You know, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says that in the beginning God, mm-hmm. Elohim, plural, created the heavens and the earth. Well, you know, the Bible and other places really verify that fact. For example,
sure.
In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that hath been made. Here we see, according to the Apostle John, that the Word, that is Jesus, had a part to play in the creation.
In the creation. And then in Job, the inspired writer here in chapter 33 and verse 4, of course, everybody calls God the Father, the Creator. But as you just mentioned just a moment ago, Jesus the Son is also the Creator. And Job speaks here very, very clearly about the Spirit of God, one of the nomenclatures that we have here for the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Again, showing us that the Holy Spirit, along with God the Son, along with God the Father, all three had a hand in the creation week. And so here we see there is only one divine nature, but three possess it. And all of this shows conclusively that not only God the Father, the first person of the Holy Spirit, but God the Son, the second person of the Holy Spirit, and God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Spirit, were greatly involved in creation.
Exactly. And you know, not only do we see that with the term Elohim in regard to the creation, but we also see that in regard to the personal pronouns, plural pronouns,
mm-hmm.
that are used. For example, in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the terms us and our,
right,
reflecting more than one, a plurality involved in the Godhead.
When, you know, when we get over to into the prophets, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8, Isaiah here receives a vision of the Lord's glory, and he explains this to us in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 8. He says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Who will go for us? And thus, then I said, here am I, send me. So God is asking Isaiah a question. Who will go for us? Mm-hmm. Who is the us here, Tom?
That's the Godhead. You know, when we think about this idea, well, and we might hold that up to our next 30 minutes But we have something very important to tell you with regard to the plurality of God and yet being one. We're going to talk more about this in just a moment, but we're going to be taking a break, and we'll continue on the other side of this break. You are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoy the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, "Those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God," Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Parkheads Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HPR network or any of its agents.
Welcome back to the Harrison Moore. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, here with my good friend and partner on this program, Tom Moore from the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. We want to welcome you back to the second half of this radio program. We are considering tonight a very important topic concerning the Holy Spirit. We are concentrating tonight on a better understanding of the unity of God through a study of the Godhead. Because if we have a great understanding of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a greater understanding of God's will for us. In order to have that great understanding of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have to understand better the Godhead that is the three making up one, the divine personality of God. And so we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the makeup of the Godhead. We have been showing you, and what we have been doing here is compiling evidence from the Holy Spirit revelation to build up our most holy faith. And this evidence, Tom, it just keeps piling up, just one right after another after another. There is so much written in the book about the Holy Spirit and about the Godhead that it is absolutely phenomenal to know that these topics just are not covered nearly enough, as you mentioned in the first hour. You can't overdo this because there is so much misunderstanding concerning it. Now, this is a live call-in talk show. Now, I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there that know something about about the Holy Spirit, and then maybe are learning something new about the Holy Spirit, we would love to have your questions. We would love to have your comments. And I do hope that you will call in. The number to call, a toll-free number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Just spell it out on your phone. It's toll-free, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, in the first hour, we talked about the misunderstanding of the Holy Spirit. And we talked about the misunderstandings of the Holy Spirit and the doctrinal advertising that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Pentecostals and the misunderstanding of religionists in general and the fact that they think the Holy Spirit is only an influence. This also comes from the Mormon religion, that he's something like electricity. And so there's all kinds of misunderstanding here, but we're studying this from an objective viewpoint. And if you're going to study this from an objective viewpoint, you've got to go and consider the facts of the faith or the facts of the gospel. And this gets right back to our motto. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say on this subject. In the first hour, we told you about the designations or the names that are given in the Bible when we call him by Bible names. There are 24 different names for the Holy Spirit in the Bible, and all of them are connected with the word Spirit. And when we throw that word Spirit in there, Tom, it throws some people for a loop, because all of a sudden he becomes some mystical, mysterious it that the other two are not. But the fact of the matter is, God is a Spirit, and the fact of the matter is, Jesus Christ is a Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a Spirit. So all three parts of personalities of the Godhead are spirits, and it makes one no more complex and no more mysterious than the other two.
Exactly. And when we think about the idea of the Godhead, we see there involved a oneness, a divine family. There is one divine nature, and there are three that possess this divine nature. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And as you mentioned a moment ago, manhood is what makes man a man. And the Godhood or Godhead is what makes God, God. We looked at, in the last hour, the passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4 and also Genesis 1 and verse 1, talking about how that God, Elohim, in the plural, all three, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all played a part in the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David, the angel of the Lord occurs frequently in the Old Testament and is a reference to the second person of the Godhead. On errands to the earth on behalf of the first person of the Godhead, God the Father, and these are recorded by the third person of the Godhead, that is, God, the Holy Spirit. All three persons, three entities of the Godhead, played a part in the transmission of the Holy Scriptures to us today.
Well, and this is important because of doctrinal teachings that are false and sinful that are being taught out there by the Pentecostal bunch who believes that there's only Jesus, and there is no other one but Jesus. And then on the other side of that coin, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses that who do not believe that Jesus is even a divine part of the Godhead. And obviously, if they don't think that Jesus is divinity, they have no regard at all for the Godhead.
Exactly. And so that's why our discussion tonight about the Holy Spirit and his connection with the Godhead is so very, very important. We've seen from looking at some Old Testament passages that the Godhead consists of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But we can also notice from the synoptic accounts of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. These are also show us the importance, or show us that all three are involved in the Godhead. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 1, it refers to all three. Jesus is mentioned in the opening verses as son of David and Abraham. Next, his genealogy or family tree from the human standpoint is mentioned. Then the details of his virgin birth from which the angel sent God the Father. And as we see in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, which says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. But when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins." You see, the Holy Spirit played a role in the virgin conception of the birth of Jesus Christ. So right there, in the very first chapter of the book of Matthew, you see there the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Three, one God, but three entities.
That's in Matthew. And the Holy Spirit also inspired Mark to write a gospel. And Mark chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." Now listen to this very carefully, Tom, in verse number 9. "And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so the second person of the Godhead, that would be Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, was baptized by John the Baptist. But then the third person of the Godhead, that would be God the Holy Spirit, descended upon him. And then the first person of the Godhead gave his divine approval by saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, Tom, I have a real hard time understanding how someone could read these passages of inspiration coming from the Holy Spirit revealed to us in our Bible, preserved so that we can study and understand more clearly the Word and the will of God. I have a hard time understanding how somebody can read what we just read right there and say that there is no Godhead or that Jesus is not a part of it.
Exactly. You know, and you can look at the same account in a different book, the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It gives even more detail. There it says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But Jesus answered and said unto him, Suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. He saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now notice, Jesus, one of the persons of the Godhead, went down into the water. He was baptized. The Spirit ascended, the Spirit of God ascended as of a dove. It was not a dove, but descended as a dove. There's the Holy Spirit. And then there was a voice that came out of heaven, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That's the Father. All three present at that one moment, showing oneness, but three different entities.
Right. And it doesn't stop there. We look at Luke chapter 1. For those of you who are looking in your Bibles, and we would encourage you to read these passages along with us. And by the way, this number to call, toll-free number, if you have a question, a comment that you want to put in on this, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We are considering the oneness of the Godhead. We are considering the unity of the Godhead, how it consists of three different personalities and one Godhead.
You know, we might remind them, David, why are we even talking about this? Why is it important for us to talk about the Godhead? And, well, when we don't understand about the Godhead, we're going to be involving ourselves in much error. And you see a lot of error in the world today from the Pentecostals and Jehovah's Witnesses mm-hmm. and other people because they do not understand the Godhead. That's why this is important. It's not just knowledge to have, but it's important because there are many false doctrines being taught because we do not understand what the Godhead is all about.
Right. Absolutely correct. And so when we look at the case from Luke, Luke, again, one of the inspired writers of the New Testament, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so we are correcting erroneous doctrine taught concerning the Holy Spirit and the Godhead by that which was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit himself. This is what the Holy Spirit has to say about himself, Tom. And so how can you get any closer to it than this?
Exactly.
Luke chapter 1, verse 32. If you've got your Bibles there, we would encourage you to read with us. In verse 32, the inspiration says, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called Son of God." And so right here again we have Jesus as the Son. He is one person, of the Highest, another person, and the Holy Spirit, a third person, coming upon Mary. There could not be a father-son relationship with only one person in the Godhead. Couldn't be, Tom.
Exactly. And you know, when we think about this issue, the first person never called the Holy Spirit Christ Father, did he?
No.
Jesus never called the Holy Spirit Father.
No.
And so we see there that there are three different personalities. You know, we can call it personalities, entities, persons, but there are three mm-hmm. that make up the Godhead. We look at Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 42. Jesus often prayed to the Father. Here he's praying to the Father in the face of the cross. And if there were not more than one, do we see Jesus praying to himself? No, he was praying to his Father.
Right.
And that shows us that there is more than one involved in the Godhead. He spoke of himself as the sent and the Father as the sender in Matthew chapter 21, verse 37. A very interesting passage there. You turn into Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20, a passage we know so much as the Great Commission, but it also teaches us a vital lesson, doesn't it, David, concerning the Godhead?
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. You know, Jesus, just before his ascension, he was talking to his apostles, giving them instructions of what they were supposed to do. This was their duty. This was their commission given straight by God the Son just before his ascension into heaven to sit on the right hand of the throne of God, which, by the way, will show us that there are more than one here. But when he approached these apostles, he said in verse 18, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All authority is given unto Jesus, that would be God the Son in heaven and in earth. And with that authority, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then he says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Godhead, the three entities, the three persons of the Godhead.
I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to get that, do you, David?
No, you shouldn't have to be.
When a person reads the Bible, remember, you have heard what men have said. Listen to what the Bible has to say about God, the Godhead, consisting of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Both, all three, that is, are persons. Even the Holy Spirit is a person.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason we're talking about this tonight is regarding the Holy Spirit in connection with the Godhead is because of all the false doctrines that are out there in the world today. And also, David, I believe that also is connected with how that some people think that the Holy Spirit is a mere influence.
Mm-hmm.
When we understand that the Holy Spirit is not an influence, but an actual person of the Godhead,
right,
that changes the way we look at the Holy Spirit, and that will also change our thinking on various biblical issues if we properly understand the Godhead. You know, when we look at the book of John,
mm-hmm,
in John at chapter 3 and verse 16, a passage that possibly most of the whole world knows, maybe can even quote or has at least heard, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here we see this portrays a gift and a giver. Well, who was the giver?
That would be the first person of the Godhead.
Exactly. That would be the Father.
Right.
Well, who was the gift?
Well, that would be the second person of the Godhead. That would be God the Son, or God the Word, and later called God the Son when he became flesh.
And so Father as giver, the Son as gift, that adds up to, now I'm not real good at math, but that's two.
Two.
Well, we learn more about this also, don't we, David, in John chapter 5 and verse 17?
Right. In John chapter 5 and verse number 17, Jesus has this to say, and let me get over here with my new pages in my new Bible. They don't turn quite like my old one. But in John chapter 5 and verse number 17, Jesus answered them, he says, my Father works hitherto, and I work. How many work is he talking about here?
He said two, didn't he?
Absolutely. And then in verse number 19, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, truly, truly, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he does, these also do the Son likewise. And so here we have two doers.
Exactly.
God the Father is a doer, and God the Son is a doer. We also have more information in John chapter 14 and verse number 26. Have you got that one?
Yes, in John chapter 14 and verse 26 it says that, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said unto you.
Okay, now we got three.
Exactly right. We've got the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit, who is going to come in Jesus' name, and he is going to teach things the Father has taught. That's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit involved,
mm-hmm,
with the apostles in their transmission of the Holy Text.
Well, we are probably inundating people with all of this factual evidence that comes from the Bible. Actually, the Holy Spirit is the one that is responsible for revealing this word to us. And so he is revealing the word here about himself as the Holy Spirit, the third person of Godhead. Now, this is what the Holy Spirit has to say, and as you just read it there, he is just saying what God told him to say.
Exactly.
He is revealing what God told him to reveal about himself. And we want to stress this to our listening audience. We are compiling evidence so that we can be and have a more perfect faith. We all ought to think the same things. We all ought to preach the same things. We all ought to do the same things. The only way that we can do this is to have the mind of God. Jesus said in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That would be the Holy Spirit through Paul says this. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If we all have the same mind, Tom, we're not going to have any problem with the Holy Spirit here because we've got the standard to go by.
Exactly. And so tonight we have shown that there are three divine persons that compose the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've seen tonight that all three were active in the creation, that all are active in providence, and they all operate in the realm of redemption. We see and know that the Father is the divine architect of the plan, that the Son is the divine executor of the plan, and that the Holy Spirit is the divine revealer of the plan. You see, David, this is very important for us because of the misconceptions that people have, but also it helps us to better understand what God
mm-hmm.
is all about. And you know, David, the more we understand about God, the more we're going to appreciate him.
Right.
And the more we're going to appreciate what he's done for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got about 30 seconds, David. Close us out.
Well, I want to thank everyone for listening tonight. And whether you called in or whether you were just listening and taking in the information, I hope that you saw, and we did not even get all of the information out there that we wanted to get out there, but we wanted you to see the evidence of the gospel concerning the Godhead and concerning the Holy Spirit. This is our mission here. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say. And the more that we can know about this Holy Spirit, the more that we can know about the Godhead, we will then understand that when we are saved, we will enjoy fellowship eternally with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Bless you for reading your Bibles. God bless America, and God bless you as you read and study the will of God.
You have been listening to the HPR Network.